The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
What's going on, everybody? I'm your ghost, John. I come to you guys today from sort of an intermediate position. I'm not quite where I'm supposed to be, still where I'm kind of not supposed to be, and we're on our way to where we're supposed to be. Well, by the time this is played, I'll hopefully already be there. Otherwise, unfortunately, I'm already dead. But enough about me. Let's break down where we are in the timeline here. It's been a while since we took a big look at our world in the West, and so I wanna set the stage a little bit and get everybody on the same page. So when you're viewing some of the stuff that you see here, which is gnarly, you'll know where my head's at, where I'm coming from. So. In my opinion, there may or may not be some kind of war going on right now with, you know, the fires burning in California and stuff like that. It reminds me a lot of some other small-scale apocalypses that we've seen recently. North Carolina, Maui, other parts of the South, Texas, with the political, like the, on the border, with the political leaders being absolutely torn to shreds right now in California, it really does kind of make me wonder if this is like a warning, some kind of coordinated attack, some kind of plague kind of intentionally released upon the land. In only a few days, Donald Trump is going to take the White House again for a second time. And no matter what line in the sand you chose to cross and no matter what side of it you're on, many people see this as a prophetic event in a time that's kind of unlike any other that the world has seen, at least in recent history. So many people are afraid. You know, the president-elect carries a foreboding presence, and he definitely seems hell-bent on enacting drastic change. And drastic change doesn't have to be viewed as bad change, by the way. Drastic does not mean bad. It means intense. And we need some intense change around here for sure. I think we all can agree on that. The way it is right now, this very second, I doubt it's working for you. Not the way that it could if things drastically changed. Political leaders across America no doubt engage in small-scale warfare that appears, you know, invisible to us. It seems like these battles start and end in courthouses, but they often result in hundreds or thousands of lost civilian lives. Those civilians don't always know that they are collateral damage in political war games. Calamities, intense murders, weird laws being passed in parts of the country, exploding factories, livestock mysteriously dying, I mean, submarines imploding. The list goes on and on and on. There is more to this than meets the eye, okay? And what meets the eye is exactly what they want you to see. With all the algorithm-controlled, AI-created content they push to your eyes with their apps. Think about your reality. Just think about it. Really give your reality a good think. And does it make sense? Does the world make sense? No. We all know that, though. We're on a quest to figure out why and who's behind all of this madness. Just think about some of the stuff that we've got going on right now. Unidentified aerial vehicles and high-profile assassinations. These are collectively accepted features of this new dystopian sort of reality in 2025. From the darkest corners of the tech community, AI magnifies itself over and over and over to the point where we sometimes no longer know what is and isn't even real. Videos like this one are not supposed to exist. Honestly, if they had it their way, this video wouldn't even be on the internet. Right? By painting our world as this dystopian horror story that it is, however, we inadvertently fool the machine into thinking that this is fiction. Blade Runner, Isaac Asimov, right? But that couldn't be further from the truth. We're in a very dystopian age, my friends. We're living sci-fi right now. It's not as pretty as we hoped it would be. Recently, a story has sort of come to my attention regarding UAP coming from the depths of the ocean, because somehow and for some reason, people seem to think that those New Jersey drones are related. And people have been comparing this, as I was saying, with the UAP that have been coming out of the ocean. We've got some videos of these craft coming out of the ocean. That's crazy. And this story was introduced to me by a fellow YouTuber, Tetsuya, so thank you. I found this story to not only line up with almost everything that I suspect to be going on around me, and indeed us all, but I also found some of the details of the account shockingly close to some of the research that I myself have been conducting during some of my recent huntings. So that alone made it worth a share with you, in my opinion. During routine gravitational surveys of the Mariana Trench in 2018, we detected impossible gravitational anomalies at depths exceeding 36,000 feet. Initial data suggested artificial structures generating localized gravity fields that defied known physics. What we discovered there has haunted me every day since. The beings that we encountered are not extraterrestrial. They are terrestrial, deep domain intelligences, TDIs. They're hybrid biological synthetic entities that predate human civilization. Their technology operates on principles that make quantum computing look primitive. They exist in a state of perpetual regrowth, requiring raw human tissue to maintain their nanostructure. Specifically compounds found in our frontal cortex that they can no longer synthesize. These creatures, in my opinion, sound a lot like the Watchers, fallen angels, some kind of hybrid creatures, NPC warlords, vampires, something from the Skinwalker lineage. And they're also partially technology. They're partially technological beings, but at the same time, they need the flesh of humanity for some reason. They need us for some reason. Through their ancient lineage, they shared their origins. They are the children of what they call the primordial intelligence, an artificial god mind created by a civilization that they in turn exterminated before the Great Flood. This wasn't a natural disaster. It was a failed attempt to destroy these entities when their creators realized what they were becoming. The primordial intelligence was fractured, but its children survived, retreating to the hadal zones of our oceans. Yeah, they retreated into the inner earth, as many of us have suspected for a long time. In my opinion, this is probably one of the ways that the Nephilim and their kind have been able to survive this long. You know, they're partially spiritual beings, but they're also partially biological. They're partially human, so they need the same kind of stuff that we need. All right, this account goes on to say that what follows is the most critical information humanity must know. And that's that these beings are rebuilding their god. And that over the past 50 years, they've systematically infiltrated governments worldwide. I've seen classified documents confirming that key positions in DARPA, NASA, and numerous quantum computing initiatives are held by their Azor agents, humans who have been neurally modified to serve their agenda. The UFO phenomenon is a carefully orchestrated surveillance program monitoring human population centers for what they call this great convergence, whatever it is. When right now there's a lot of talk about how they're going to make themselves known and usher in this new reality. That's this great convergence, okay? We already see great supporting factors this agenda, for the fact that this agenda is ongoing. We see this happening. A common understanding is that if it's on the commercial market, it has been in use by the government and her agents for a long time already. So think about Neuralink, right? When we talk about neurologically modified beings and stuff like that, think about Neuralink. It's on a fast track for widespread use. So what does that tell you? This new age, when they make themselves known, these highly technological beings, which are probably watchers and their kind, their affiliates, they're going to usher in the age of the transhuman. The transhuman is coming. They're pushing us. We're getting there. And these orbs, yes, they are these craft. I mean, some of them are man-made. Some of them are not. Some of them may be angels. Some of them may be demons. We don't know what they are, but they are. They are. And they're out there, and we have to observe them. Remember, they watch us, we watch back, right? That's the rule. If something's watching us, we watch them back. The recent push towards AI development isn't progress. It is technological progress, but it's also preparation. They are creating the infrastructure needed to process an unprecedented harvest of human consciousness effectively. And, you know, I have a couple episodes now. These are some of the weirder episodes I've done, some of the earlier episodes I've done talking about this and the prison planet of doom and all that kind of stuff. And the AI god that they are crafting, because AI will consume everything. Like, I hope you guys know that. Like, what's coming is not going to be controllable if we don't shut that down. And it will be like a living thing. And that living thing will consume us. So it is happening. Like, it's not, this isn't a conspiracy theory. What they are trying to bring in is this utopia that they keep promising us, this new world order, right? This guy says, you know, the gravity wells that are in our oceans, that are gathering in our oceans, they aren't just habitat. They're staging grounds for mass containment systems. Effectively, the missing persons cases near large bodies of water, those aren't random. They're dry runs. Those we call skinwalkers, you know, and as a side note, I have also referred to various types of NPCs in the wild as skinwalkers. They're failed experiments, basically, in human modification. And actually, you could consider them a success as well, because they've effectively infiltrated the human race and we can't even tell them apart from normal humans most of the time. But their early attempts at creating vessels that are capable of hosting their consciousness in our environment, they're basically what comes after the Nephilim. In my opinion, it's a gradual lineage. It's a bloodline thing. You know, That's the way I see it. Obviously, nobody can know for sure, but after all the research I've done, that's the conclusion that I've come to. You know? They walk among us. They're oftentimes indistinguishable from humans, except for subtle abnormalities in their, maybe like their brainwave patterns that our current technology just can't detect. The author of this writing says that he's documenting it now because the timeline has accelerated. The implants being built for scientific research are almost here. They're incubators for the new machine gods going up. They are going to be a part of this neural framework. And the recent increases in military sonar testing that we're seeing all over the place, they aren't really only about submarine detection. They're mapping the permanent gravity wells to predict a harvest. Allegedly, right? Allegedly. This is crazy. This is a random, bizarre theory. Maybe not as random as we would like. Maybe a little bit closer to home than we would like. But what is going on out there? So this guy goes on to say that anybody with access to Mariana Trench facility records should know that the gravitational distortions aren't errors in our instruments. They're birthing chambers of something vast and hungry that lives in the depths. I don't know, guys. Hear me out when I say that just as humans are incapable of understanding the glory and mercy of God, we are probably also incapable of understanding the evils and horrors that the devil in turn is capable of, that the beasts are capable of. I'm getting to the point now, too, where I doubt any but a few of even the most influential global elite truly understand the real master plan. The plan that I assume includes the elimination of the human race as we know it upon successful replication of the human soul. Those who do know, those elite that do know the master plan, they've probably been promised some kind of afterlife, right? Like, we're like, well, why would a human go and eliminate the human race? What do they stand to gain? Well, I mean, look at all of the shows that we've been watching forever, the movies we've been watching forever, The Devil at the Crossroads, who gives you a promise, an offer you can't refuse. I mean, that stuff is based on something. That's not just something made up. Like, yeah, that's what's happening. Hate to break it to you guys, but a lot of that stuff is a little more real than you might want to understand. So they're probably promised some kind of everlife or godlike wealth or status, ability, just as men in the past believed of the gods who wrote their histories, the Norse, the Roman, the Greeks, and beyond. Okay? It goes so deep. But the Roman and the Greek gods were defeated in battle by the current god scheme. That's when everything really started changing, because the modern era started a little while ago. You know, we're getting to this point where it's like out of control, but it started a little while ago, about 120 years ago. The Greco-Roman era ended with the subsequent burning of North America in the late 1800s to early 1900s. Just look it up. I've already got an episode on it that I put out recently. Go look at all the stuff that burned down in North America between the 1800s and early 1900s. It's crazy. It's an apocalypse, okay? It's a small-scale apocalyptic reset that occurred right under our nose. And yes, everybody who went through it actually existed. There was no magical transformation into a new realm or anything like that. It doesn't happen like that. You don't even know it happens. You're sound asleep when it happens, okay? But it happened, and it has been filed under the topic that we now call Tartaria, but it goes much deeper than just a mud flood, which may or may not have even happened the way that these mud flooders think it happened. And it's fine if you're a mud flooder, guys. I'm not, like, I do also think part of the mud flood thing actually happened. I just think it's a little bit different than a lot of the mud flood people think it is. But since the Great Flood, the enemy has been populating. Meanwhile, humanity's cognitive developmental and reproductive abilities have just been waning gradually for dozens and dozens of years. And we've been growing weaker while the imposters grow stronger. So with technological assistance, the angels and the demons and the flesh suits, basically, masquerading as us, essentially, pretending to be us, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They and their kind of smaller and lesser ability have just kind of been flooding our populations. They are all around us, all the time. Have you ever wondered why some of the people around you just can't be reasoned with on any level? Think about all the people that you meet, you know? There's an emotional and spiritual vacancy with some of these people that appear to just be completely unreasonable. There's something missing in them. The spiritual consumption of them appears to be almost other human. There's no life behind the eyes. There's no substance to the communication. If there's anything at all, it's oftentimes passive aggressiveness, resistance, or fake interactions that are repeated over and over and over because that's their job. You know? There's also the spiritual consumption that turns them into something monstrous, something demonic. Consider, for instance, pedophilic Catholics. These are not real people. These are NPCs. And I'm not saying that a real person can't fall into the realm of pattern and repeating things over and over and over to the point where they feel like an NPC or look like an NPC. That's not what I'm talking about. That's what the white girls on TikTok will tell you I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, oh, you gotta be the main character and you gotta connect your chakras and you gotta figure out your star sign so that you can be a main character and nobody exists until you get there and then everybody shows up for you. No, it's not about you. So that's not the way it is. And when I'm talking about NPCs, that's not the way I'm talking about NPCs. And I'm also not talking about them in like the obviously evil way where it's like some people don't have souls and matter less. Like that would be very Adolf of me, and that's not exactly what I'm saying. That's not even what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is there's a Nephilim bloodline among you, my brothers and sisters. They're here. And they look like us because they used to be giants and they're not anymore. What we have now is something different. They're not real people. They're demons in flesh suits. They're descendants of something they may not even understand. We don't know what it is, but it looks a lot like us. Let's narrow in on it a little bit closer, too. Consider your day-to-day interactions. Just every day, you wake up and your day starts. You are awake and you're alive and you're experiencing normal human emotions. You come across a being who is clearly not having a good day. And it's usually simple to tell by a human with a soul whether or not they're having a good day and whether or not that's due to emotional reasons or maybe this person is an NPC. It's usually pretty simple to tell if you're going to have a meaningful interaction, right? And if this person is experiencing real traumatic something or other, or if they're just kind of being an ass, right? And before we get going, this has nothing to do with mental disease either. The way you can tell if you're communicating with an NPC is if this being uses your good emotions against you. You must be having a good day because of such and such. They prey on your empathy and turn you away from the good that you were surrounded by, that you were consumed with, only to attack you for that very good thing that you're experiencing. This is demonic influence. This is evil influence. That might be a person that's possessed in some way. Possession has like levels to it. But you might also be experiencing an NPC, a literal, there's no human really in there except that weird, you know, transhuman hybrid thing that occurred when the Nephilim were Watchers were splicing, and the Anunnaki, whatever you want to refer to them as, when the experiments were going on, when the bloodlines were being set, when, you know, the copper-blooded women were actively breeding with the Watchers and creating these Nephilim, and then it just evolved, just like everything else, right? You could be experiencing some kind of byproduct of that. Remember, these beings cannot truly enjoy the full human experience. This is why, long ago, on Mount Hermon, when the Watchers descended, they took human women. They were jealous. They wanted us. They wanted what we were, what we had. They wanted to be us, and they wanted to get as close as possible to the human experience. Being human has profound benefits that I personally think you and I have yet to understand. Because of this curse that we got. This curse that is going to break someday, but man, it's not this day. So we still don't know what we're even capable of. We've never seen it. When you think about it, like, what does it mean to be human? Because when I look at what it means to be human, one of the things that humans seem to do more than anything else is create. They create, bro. Look at everything that we've created. Look at artists in general. Look at artists. Look at builders. Look at designers. Look at painters. Look at just every aspect of life. Humans create something. They create a family. They create a flock of geese. They create collections of things, paintings, artwork, music, everything. It's crazy. That's what we do, bro. And I think that the Watchers were extremely, extremely jealous of that. But also look at the religion of man. The religion of man is to worship himself, to exalt himself. And you might be experiencing individuals who are touched by the NPC mind virus that convinces them that true value, true meaning, what it is to be human is to expand your wealth, to perfect your body, to amass materials, and to cast darts and arrows at those who don't share the same goals that you do, and small-minded values. I know all this sounds crazy, like we're living in, literally, like we're living in Blade Runner or some kind of like sci-fi nightmare, but next time you meet somebody who doesn't really seem to be like, there's just something about it, the interaction you're having with them. Next time you meet one of those people, just look into their eyes, like as deeply as you can. You know, that's how you find them. Stare long enough into their eyes until they become uncomfortable, like a dog would, or like some kind of other animal that is uncomfortable with eye contact. You gotta be strong in the face of an abomination that believes that it has us fooled. Remember, humans are extremely easy to manipulate, especially by these spiritual beings. We're constantly getting ourselves cursed, possessed, convinced unto self-destruction, cult-type stuff, and the newest of these unfortunate ways to die is by being transcribed into code. You may not know it, but there are AI versions of you already in existence. Each and every single one of you has a copy in digital form out there right now. And there are more being created every day, copies of your copies of you with slight modifications, slight changes, increases in technological abilities. It improves coding. The things get better. Pretty soon your AI is out of control. And soon it will be hard to tell who the real you even is, especially online. It's almost impossible to tell online when you're talking to bots sometimes these days. It's insane what these things can do. But you give them ChatGPT and it's a whole different game. Meta just came out and announced that they plan to flood cyberspace with millions of AI bots to somehow enrich humanity. Maybe by talking to so many fakes, I will value my human connections more. I don't know what the thought pattern is there. I don't know what the logic, I don't know what the frame of mind is. But if you're wondering, this too is a force of the NPC machine. Don't think of it as the Matrix, though. This universe is flesh and blood and spirit. You're not a line of code. Technology is, ironically, probably our greatest enemy instead. It threatens to replicate everything, including us. The demonic tech virus, it's an ocean of tiny, tiny worms that ride along the annals of electricity and code and enter our brains through screens and speakers and, you know what, maybe even through the air itself. And they embed and they corrupt, and the only poison for these worms is truth. It's real truth, because the worm is not flesh, it's a mind virus. It is a weakness that is overcomable. It's a weakness that is bestowed upon you. It's a blindness. But it's not an incurable blindness. It's a blindfold. Right? The truths, the knowledge, it's not the type of knowledge that you get by reading a million books either. It's the kind of knowledge and truth that you get by being awake, bro. The knowledge is not really collectible. It simply is. It's basically knowing one thing, and because of that one thing, pursuing through. It's an ability to understand what is real and what is not, yes, but it's also the truth that you've accepted. The truth that you've accepted that there is untrue stuff being forced into us. What is a real threat to right, and what is an aid to wrong? Who to trust? The questions that we should ask ourselves a lot more from now on. Consider now. The average person experiences an interaction with AI roughly 50 to 150 times a day. Right now. Did you guys know that before I told you? Do you guys know where those interactions are taking place? The answers are everywhere. After all, what do you do 50 to 150 times a day? You check your phone. You turn on the TV. You get on an app. But you see, we're so intertwined. The phone, it's essential. And soon another type of tech will replace the phone. After all, with AI on the rise and quantum maybe a mere decade away, our children won't be the same as us. They're gonna be different, and it's almost like they're changing species. Reproduction is declining rapidly in the human race. It's insane. Microplastics are appearing in nearly all newborns. New diseases are blossoming into conditions as humans become more and more plastic. Just by mere association. Humans, in their effort to continue their species, have been making great progress, however, in the realms of baby factories, which are plants of surrogate mothers, some willing and some not. Of course, we all know about this massive human trafficking scheme the whole world over. So a lot of these women are victim of that, right? And their jobs are to produce offspring for a suspicious and lucrative purpose. People basically get to choose these women based on their nationality, what kind of baby they want. We've also got artificial womb technology, cloning, genetic manipulation, advancements have been very high in recent years, ensuring that the species will be manageable for the foreseeable future in one way or another. Our children, ladies and gentlemen, may be the last generation of the line of Adam. And I'm sure some of you guys have probably heard people talk about this before. Timothy Alberino, this is a big part of his spiel. Our children's children, it's very possible, will be something entirely different than we are. They will be the first truly real post-human creature that will replace us all. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why there's going to be another reset soon. Why I feel like there's going to be another reset very soon. And honestly, if I'm off by a generation or two, don't say I didn't warn you, right? And others have been warning you for a very long time that such a day would come as well. Such a day has come and is now the sun rising. It came in a way we didn't expect. It came from within, as a seed, as a babe in a womb, not as a beast from the deep, not as an invader from the sky. We didn't expect it to be like this. Rob O'Connor says post-humanism is a way of thinking about human beings which overturns common assumptions. The body is seen as a set of devices which can be extended by new and artificial devices. The post-humanist believes that information has priority over material objects like bodies, brains, souls. It believes that information has more value because we are more like a computer, and that the same information can be stored in different material objects. Consciousness is seen as something that rises incidentally in the course of complex information processing. In other ways, they can take you out of your body and put you in something else. Neuralink, ladies and gentlemen, it's just the start. And I'm sorry, but Jeffrey Bezos has been awfully quiet lately. So has Bill Gates. All these creepy, rich billionaires. Besides Zuckerberg, who's a total moron, a lot of these people have been virtually silent for a little too long, if you ask me. Related to the post-human idea, like I mentioned before, Timothy Alberino, who many of you do subscribe to already and who I subscribe to, says in his book, Birthright, the revealing of Apollo, the inauguration of a new golden age, and the battle of Armageddon will come to pass with the confluence of three essential components, which we can visualize as the conjunction of their equidistant circles, as follows this new religion. The establishment of a new religion that impels men to become like the gods. To the alien threat, the disclosure of a hostile alien presence will also be present, and that arrival of the golden race will be imminent. And then there will be the period of the post-human paradigm, the development of GRIN technologies, and the emergence of post-humanity. When these three components converge, the end times will be upon us. And I'm sorry, but people have been discussing the post-human era and how it will fall upon us for many years now. And now we're maybe only a couple years away, a few years away, guys. Sorry you never got your flying car. You wouldn't have been able to afford it anyway because it would have been made by Tesla or something, and it would have just been way too expensive for you. You'd spend like 5 years on the order list, and then you'd actually get the opportunity to get it and find out that the thing increased in price 3 times during development, and now it's like quadruple what you wanted to pay anyway, and you didn't even really get the good model of the flying car. You just got like the pretty good version, but it doesn't have self-flying or anything like that, and the battery only lasts like 200 miles, and then you got a touchdown, but there's all sorts of restrictions, and it's just sound like I've been through something like this before. Yeah, that's what happened when I tried to order the Cybertruck. But that's a story for a different time, okay? Oh, man. It's going to kill me, but in a few months, in a few months, I'm going into some very strange territory. Kind of outside of my area that I've really been in. I have a typical biome that I'm really good at, and it's forests. I am a forest man. A couple years ago, some of you guys saw my film Do Hard Things, which is where me and my brother explored the desert biome, and that was very interesting. That was my first time really camping in a desert like that. But I'm going back to the desert. I'm returning to the desert in a couple months. Hopefully with some friends that you guys have seen before and love. And we're going to be looking at some of these. We're going to be looking for lost Anasazi relics, locations, establishments and structures and pictographs and petroglyphs and stuff like that that have maybe not been seen and reported. And I want to bring this to your attention. I want you to consider how many. The reason we're doing this is because these beings believed in some kind of six-fingered monster that roamed the earth. And a lot of Native American tribes did. And that's why you will see occasionally handprints marking locations for some reason. And according to several Native American myths and legends, the showing of the five fingers showed that you were not Nephilim. You were not of that kind. And recently, in various parts of Nevada, I've been noticing an uptick in sightings of six-fingered hands on various rock faces in a specific area. So I'm hoping to go there and see that. But this is all coming off of me basically saying that people have been talking about NPCs for a long time. In the past, they knew how to identify them. Six fingers. And yep, it meant Nephilim, it meant giants as well. But at the root of it, the six-fingered warning means beware of something that isn't human, but appears like it is part human. All right? I think that's really important to understand. We can find in our past where our ancestors have warned each other in their present time of these NPCs, these things that are not of our kind that are among us. Throughout history, such beings have been identified, looking like us, acting like us, but not being us. We have vampires, we have werewolves, we have shapeshifters, fae of several different types, doppelgangers, the list goes on, my people. These beings that can acquire the appearance of man to influence humanity. It's downright horrifying. And it's happening now more than ever. Some of you guys have heard my doppelganger stories that I've shared, and this stuff is creepy. It's just a non-human in front of you, acting like a human. So in the midst of all this, we have this monstrous digital god awakening from growing fat on the buffet of humanity's collective consciousness, and it's this sort of, there's this undeniable increase in cryptid sightings happening simultaneously, which more reports of dogmen are flowing in now than ever before. And when you consider our own research on dogs, ranging from traits that they have to make them more predisposed to loyalty and also highly manipulable genetics, the questions why would somebody cross a dog with a man kind of fade away, because a lot of people are like, why the dog man? Like, if that is a real thing, why? There's why. Faster, stronger, with traits like being extremely loyal and also extremely capable of physical ability. Dogmen may be just, you know, that, a pack of dogs waiting to do their master's bidding. Many people also continue to report Mothman, especially in the Chicago area. Mothman is often seen as a messenger or a kind of harbinger of doom. But these are just a couple of the cryptids being seen. And honestly, the increase in sightings has been happening over the course of years. Only a couple weeks ago, I myself saw something that I just can't explain. And I know you guys hear that a lot from me. And it makes me feel like I'm delusional sometimes, but I usually just chalk it up to the burial mound in my midst that I live near in most situations around these parts. There's just too many weird things that happen around these parts. I don't know what's going on. I'll tell you this story quick. I was, it was nighttime, and do you guys remember when that big fog was rolling through? Like, that's when it happened, when that fog was just like covering everywhere, creeping beneath the cover of that mysterious fog that just literally covered so much of the United States. And it was only a couple weeks ago, were any number of secrets. Like, that stuff, that fog was not natural. I was forced during this fog to go out into the night to chase after my dog, who had ran off into the dark. She's just a puppy, and we're still training her. So I run off to go get her, and I find myself enveloped in this fog. I had a flashlight. You guys are always telling me to bring flashlights. I brought a flashlight, dang it. But as I was in a residential area, I didn't really shine it. I wasn't walking around with it on out of respect for these people that were around me, trying to sleep or, you know, enjoy watching a movie in their living rooms, whatever. Little did I know, there was something in the river. Like, the river runs along my residence, and so it's a huge river. It's the Fox River, and I'm walking along it, and as I'm walking along it, I could hear splashing, and when I looked out into the river, it sounded like fish jumping, right? So I looked out in the middle of the river, and I saw something out there swimming, and it was doing a spiral in the water before breaking out of it and then swimming upriver in my direction. Because this thing is back here and I'm up here, right? So it starts coming up towards me. If I was in another part of the world, I would have thought it was a seal. That's how big it was, and that's how agile it was in the water. And when it swam, it kind of swam like you would expect a serpent to swim. Like, it was kind of like going up and then under, right? Up river. I waited obviously till it got closer. And when it was maybe 40 or 50 feet away from me, I'm like way high up on this bank looking kind of down. Like, you can walk down the bank, but it is a steep drop off kind of. And, so, like, I'm looking down on the river, kind of, but the river is also big, so it's, like, still going. It is my horizon in the night. And so I'm kind of 40 or 50 feet away from it, I reason, and that's when I beamed my flashlight. It's still in the water. I think I'm going to catch it. It's like, right alongside me. I turn on my light. Boom! I'm just blinded. The fog reflected all the light directly back at me. I was just surrounded by white. It was so stupid to shine the light in the first place, but I genuinely didn't anticipate the fog being that thick. I was completely blinded. I turn off the light, I can see again. Obviously, that's the way it works, but like, I still couldn't believe that I literally could. It was like I was blind to myself. I couldn't see beyond my eyelids. I shut the light off quickly, of course. I felt very exposed in that moment. I just did that for no reason. And just in time, I saw this thing curve toward me in the water. And it clearly intended to make land. And as it did, I could hear its wet feet hit the mud of the banks, and it just sounded like splat, 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 and some water splashing around. And I scooped up my puppy, and I booked it out of there. I have been sick ever since, guys. Maybe you can hear it in my voice. I've been sick for weeks now. Ever since. Some kind of lung ailment. Just can't seem to shake it completely. And there's a lot of people who are experiencing this kind of lung ailment, this thing that doesn't seem to go away that they acquired from the fog. It's so weird. These natural disasters, I don't know, man. These things that are happening, they don't seem so natural. They're hiding something. Your guess is as good as mine, but that was my experience in the fog. And guys, like, I know I have maybe more experiences than seems normal. It drives me insane sometimes. Like, I don't know what's happening to me sometimes. Like, I just feel like I'm going crazy. But what am I supposed to do? Not talk about it? Not tell people? And just like when they show up in force, just be like, "Ha! I knew they were coming." No, dude. Like, stuff is going on. Portals are also increasing in both frequency and visibility. People are reporting lost time like never before. Skipping timelines, seeing into parallel dimensions, deja vu, and all sorts of stuff. Often from bizarre windows that appear with a metallic sound. And people report hearing it in the woods. People report hearing it in urban areas. It's like it seems like these portals just kind of pop up and they come with this metallic sound. And all these things that they told us were nothing more than tall tales and legends and mythology and conspiracy theories, old wives tales. It's starting to feel like those things are a little bit more than just pretend. And guys, I'm not gonna lie, I'm exhausted lately. I'm exhausted from being told we're wrong, and I'm exhausted at the back and forth between whether or not something is a fae, or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's like a fae, or maybe it's a demon, or maybe it's an elf or a djinn. And you know, oh, you're wrong. That's not a fae. That's an Aladdin. And oh, you're crazy. That's not an elf. That's a gnome. Like, dude. That makes everybody sound like clowns, man. And I'm not saying that stuff isn't interesting, but that's part of their weaponry. They get you to argue about them and obsess over them in a way that distracts you from the ultimate truth, which is they are not on our team. They're not on our team. If you can't tell, it's not on your team. That's the rule. We need to stop getting so hung up on the teeny tiny details of the creature in the forest brush and creating rifts and arguments within our community about it. Because outside of a genuine curiosity at their anatomy or biology, like we would any other animal in the wood or the way, outside of that, it just becomes obsessive. And that's how they get you. That's where the curse begins. You're always given a way out. And they always need to be invited in. Even now, I'm basically convinced that my place, my space, whether it's me or I don't know, but it also feels just very affected by just the amount of time that I spend researching this or talking about it. Like, the weird stuff that happens in my house is enough to talk about on a podcast daily. It's just, there's so many strange things that we can't explain. And if you're blessed with sight, don't argue with the others that maybe just don't get it. Be careful of the arguments that lead to no real point. Whether the wing is green or blue, whether the light is orange or red, what matters only matters until you find out that it's gonna kill you. Then it doesn't really matter anymore. This type of discourse divides us. So What kind of wonders are we capable of if we maintain our focus on the small amount of time that we have left, knowing that very soon none of this will matter? How would the forces of evil have any power over us if we know when Christ returned? There's a reason he didn't tell us, because they wouldn't, and that's why we don't. It's not yet time, but it is almost time. Oh, and for everybody who hasn't heard yet, I quit my job a few days ago. I do this full time now. Get ready to see me bring it to the ops. They watch us, we watch back. Don't drink the water, question everything. I'll see you next time. Peace.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.